If you want trusted market data delivered straight to your inbox, sign up to AHDB's market emails for updates on the latest grain and livestock prices, red meat and dairy trends, and evidence-based insights across all farming sectors. Search for Preference Centre at ahdb.org.uk and follow the instructions to make sure you're getting the insights that matter most to your business.
We have pet lambs descending on our podcast episode. If anybody follows me on Instagram, they will see that these pet lambs go all over the place. You're not helping. And welcome to a very special episode of AHDB's Food and Farming podcast. We're here in very sunny North Yorkshire, although that sun is perhaps presenting a few challenges for farmers in the area. We'll be getting into some of those challenges and how AHDB are working to support our levy payers. We'll be talking about changes within the sectors and also within AHDB itself. I'm Rebecca Wilson, a sheep and arable farmer in Yorkshire, and I also dabble in social media and co-host another podcast. But let's get back a bit more to what AHDB are doing for farmers and the changes that the organisation has undergone in the last year or so. And who better to talk about this than Graham Wilkinson? He's the Chief Executive of AHDB and has been at the helm for just over a year now. Graham, it's absolutely brilliant to have you here in sunny North Yorkshire. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me down to the farm, Rebecca. It's brilliant to be here.
So, Graham, as I mentioned, you've been in post for just over a year. We've seen really quite a lot going on across not just agriculture, but beyond, and I'm sure we'll get into that. I'm not going to ask you for a full school report as such, but tell us a little bit more about the last year. What's the journey been like?
So it's been a fantastic year. It's been, when I took on the role, I often said that, you know, the next 5 years were going to be quite crucial to British agriculture, that food and farming was at a bit of a crossroads. I think I probably underestimated as to how much change and how quick that change would come. So it's been a very, very extremely busy year at AHDB. There's been lots happening internally and externally, but it's been an absolutely fantastic year.
So some of the changes we're seeing are definitely presenting opportunities, but let's talk about the big shifts perhaps within the AHDB, but dramatically, you know, the geopolitical landscape has, to be honest, as farmers, it's quite a scary thing. So any big shifts that you would really pull out, and perhaps what's AHDB's reaction to them been, and how are they looking to help levy payers through it?
So I think from an AHDB perspective, you know, when you think about who we are and what we stand for, you know, we are an independent, evidence-based, levy-funded organisation. And I think, you know, our USP is without doubt our independence. We can do things that others can't, and there's things that others with across the industry can do that we can't as well. So I think the opportunity that we've had is a lot been around the analysis, the independent analysis that we've been able to provide when changes have happened, so that our levy payers, you know, have the right information at hand to be able to make changes that benefit their farms.
It's definitely something that I've noticed, obviously through some of the work I'm doing beyond the farm. You are speaking to the media and the press and perhaps even consumers and farmers from other sectors, and some of the statistics, as you say, that independent data which you can draw upon is vital, because I think without that data, how on earth can we present an argument for change? And there's changes happening, which, you know, some of them we really don't want to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. But it's also important for within AHDB that we're able to adapt really quickly when those changes happen, and that we're able to get that evidence and facts to levy payers as quick as possible as well.
Absolutely. So when it comes to levy payers, there's really quite a breadth of people who are involved in that, different stakeholders. But if we focus on farmers, those down on the ground challenges which we're talking about, I think now would be a good time to bring up your background, Graham. You know, it's very much grounded in the practical side of farming. So tell us a bit more about that and how you feel, I guess, it informs your role within AHDB.
I mean, I come from a dairy farming background. A family with dairy farmers in the northeast, not too far away from where we are today, Rebecca. And I think throughout my career, it's been the foundation of who I am as a person. I'm very proud to have worked within this industry throughout my whole of my career. But the ability to be able to connect with farmers, to spend time with farmers, is something that I've always taken me within every role that I've done throughout my career as well. And I think it's so important being able to really understand and listen to farmers as to where, how they're feeling, how important some of those changes are is really important. And I think as an industry we need to open our ears and listen to them so much more than maybe we have been. And I think that's what I've been trying to do within HGB. I think somebody within the industry told me that when I took this job, for goodness sake, be visible, get yourself out there. And that's, I enjoy being out and about. I enjoy listening to farmers.
Yes.
I enjoy listening to levy payers. And I think that's really important so that when I'm back at base, we're implementing the right changes.
Yeah.
And I've got those thoughts in my mind.
And you talk about connecting with levy payers. And I think, as you say, absolutely vital. AHDB do put on loads of events, don't they, kind of nationwide. We did open up this episode to questions from levy payers, so yeah. I'm about to ask you one of those in a second, Graham, but before we get into that question, can you tell us a couple of the events that spring to mind that AHDB put on that levy payers really get something out of?
So I think in the average year, I think we do something like over 300 different kind of events. What I love about the work that AHDB does is that it takes some of the science right the way down into 150 farmers in a grain store, down to the practical level as to how you can actually take those learnings there and really apply them on my farm. And I think that's really fantastic. So grassroots, whether it's engagement teams across all the sectors that we operate, are really important. But right the way through to, I've had the fantastic opportunity to be at some of our export events in Sial, in Paris, where you've seen British produce being promoted on the world stage.
Yeah.
So, the breadth is unbelievable on the work that we do and the events that we actually host.
Absolutely. I've been lucky enough to go to Anuga with AHDB, which again is a massive export conference, and it was mind-blowing. And I have to say, I completely underestimated the scale of work, that AHDB put into export. So you have, that massive, worldwide stage. But then I remember going to an event that was related to Great British Beef Week. Now, I'm a sheep and arable farmer, but to learn the work that's going on that side. And, we were, as you say, on a farm, saw some cooking demonstrations, ate that produce that we were talking about and really focusing on, I guess, the production and the value and the reputation of our produce, when consumers are picking it up in the supermarket. So I think it's eye-opening if you can take the time to get away from the farm or whatever, kind of sector you're in, it's eye-opening.
I think what's also important is that, we've also done many events in cattle markets as well, so that we are trying to connect with as many levy payers as possible. One thing that people tell me is that when they actually engage with some of the work that they do, that we do, they take a lot from it and actually implement that on the farms. We do lots of surveys, and that's been one of the pieces of feedback that I get for people that really engage. So it's important for us that we are able to engage with as many levy payers, as many farmers as possible, and that we're as close to them as possible, making it as easy and as accessible for them to attend those events. And if they can't physically attend those events, how are they making them available through social media, etc.?
Absolutely. Well, I think now is a good time to take a question from a beef and lamb levy payer and actually asking about those open days and events that AHDB hold. He said that the emphasis is always on reducing inputs, net zero and rotational grazing, which are obviously kind of big buzzwords in the industry at the moment. He understands the reason behind why there's a focus on those kind of elements, but many of the bigger paying levy payers are intensive finishers. So with such a strong finishing sector at the moment, we know prices for beef, particularly at the moment, are very high. Will we see more attention paid to, I guess, that more intensive system, or is there no scope for that?
So We, within the beef and lamb sector, I think in the year ahead, we've got about 70 events planned throughout the UK. And what we try to then do is that split them across, you know, different topics, systems, etc. So some of them might not necessarily be as close as a levy payer would like, but there's opportunity to maybe travel a little bit, little bit further afield, to be able to access some of that information with the kind of events that they're looking for. But without a doubt, we have a fantastic engagement team that, you know, to me are really at the heart of the farming community. Many of them are farmers themselves as well, and we have sector councils that ultimately help us in being able to identify those key topics as to be able to host them as well. So there's always the opportunity to change some of the topics that we do to make sure that ultimately we are here to deliver for our levy payers, and it's important that the topics that we cover are really delivering for them. So we need to be agile, we need to adapt, and so that we're constantly putting on the topics that our levy payers want. So absolutely, we're here to be able to make sure that they are getting the right information that they're looking for.
And I guess the message is for people who perhaps listen to this podcast or do engage with AHDB's, you know, resources online, is that if there is something that you want to see, the only way to make something like that happen is, you know, this farmer who submitted his question, brilliant way, let's get those questions to the heart of AHDB and kind of change those things. If you want to see it, you can try and deliver that.
Within in the cereals and oilseed sector, we've just started a letterbox idea where any levy payer can put in some of their ideas on some of maybe the research areas that we should be focusing on as well. So it's about listening. It's about us listening to our levy payers and adapting.
Yes.
And we will do that.
And there are so many levy payers and production systems who I guess you have to please as the AHDB. Going back to the question with rotational grazing, net zero, the environmental conversation at the moment is massive. Net zero is potentially all-consuming. Some people would even say kind of to the detriment of farming and food production. But how does AHDB support farmers to be part of the solution when it comes to the environmental side of things?
I think that's really important, Rebecca. And farming, food and farming, is part of the solution. When we've been investing in our environmental team. So since I came into role at AHDB, it's an area of the business that we have invested. We've brought in some fantastic experts and people that are now supporting us around this whole topic. One of the areas that I've talked externally about is our baselining pilot, which we've got 170 farms throughout the UK that are ultimately looking at the other side of the balance sheet. So not purely just the carbon side, but also about sequestration, biodiversity, and all those other elements that need to go into the calculation as well. So we've got 170 fantastic farmers that have lent in, that are helping us with this pilot. And we're doing LIDAR scanning, we're doing deep soil analysis as well. And that, to me, back to who we are, evidence, fact-based, independent organisation, that will give us the facts and data to really demonstrate how food and farming, how farming is actually part of the solution.
I think from a farmer's perspective, we walk out here and we can see what we're doing day to day, but to be able to convey that, you know, to the policymakers, people, you know, who are in those influential positions, but to consumers as well, is vital. And I think from my perspective, hopefully I think it's shared by other farmers as well, we felt quite in the dark on, you know, the carbon side of things, the calculators, because they just feel like they're missing a few areas. Are they comprehensive enough? And it feels like a minefield for us to try and investigate when, you know, time and money's scarce for us.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly, you know, those are the kind of areas that HDB, you know, we are doing a lot more, and we need to do even more of, because ultimately farmers are extremely busy people, and so we need to make it as easy as possible. We need to champion the work that they do on their farms too. Influence future policy.
You're back with me, Rebecca, and Graham, Chief Executive of the AHDB. We've just had a walk around the farm here, and I hope it's safe to say that we are trying to you know, push for those production standards, the animal welfare, the sustainability at all times, as, you know, it's a real priority for British farmers to have those standards, isn't it?
It is, and you see that from the work that we do, consumers, but also from our exports as well. So being on the world stage, being able to talk about, you know, the high production standards that British food is produced to is absolutely fantastic and helps us ultimately secure business across the world.
Yeah, and I think now's a good time to bring in a question from another levy payer. And it's been great to, I guess, get levy payers to get to the heart of the HDB with Graham. You know, it's brilliant that people want to engage. This one actually is, I guess, about fairness and production standards when you're talking about exports and imports. As a board member of the Red Tractor Scheme, how will you drive and achieve equivalence for UK-produced goods against substandard imports? And it's a big worry, you know, and we're seeing trade deals, you know, kind of, you know, growing and farmers and levy payers are genuinely worried about them, aren't they? So how does the HDB help to achieve that equivalence?
So I think it's something that, firstly, I really get the concerns from farmers, and I understand that. We've as an organisation, it's an area that we've been pushing for some time, actually, and I think in the last year alone we've got the FAR report, so there's which we're now working through as a business to understand. There's 56 recommendations that came out of that report, mm-hmm. and the work that we've done would identify around about 20 of those 56 are areas that HDB needs to play either a sole role or a partner role in being able to answer to those recommendations, and that's what we're doing. And the team is working very hard on that. We know that this is a big concern, and certainly from a cereals and oilseeds perspective, we know that this is something that's really top of mind, mm-hmm. and that's something that we're doing. Last year alone, we did a number of analysis on different standards, different production standards around the world, Australia being an example of that across beef. And we know that we are working on a similar kind of report from a cereals and oilseeds perspective to be able to then compare the analysis between the two. So I think that's a really important part, so that we've got the facts and the evidence on the table to be able mm-hmm. to develop that. It's certainly something that we are picking up as part of the ownership body as well into Red Tractor. And I think as part of the review, the FAR review, there's going to be within 6 months a reconnection on, so for everybody within the ownership body, etc., yeah. Red Tractor, it's not just Red Tractor, it's also assurance in general that actually mm-hmm. we are delivering to those recommendations. So we know that there's the scrutiny, we know that there's work to do, we know that it's a real area of concern amongst levy payers, and we are absolutely committed to be able to deliver and support in the solutions. It's important that everyone benefits and, you know, gets the value from assurance, Red Tractor and standards, and I think that's something that we are absolutely players are focused on.
I think people will be, I guess, hopefully inspired or kind of reassured to hear you say that there's a commitment from the HDB regarding assurance and those food standards, because it does very much feel like farmers have been left by the wayside in these standards, and ultimately farmers are the ones who suffer with substandard imports, obviously consumers with access to choice, etc. But farmers feel left by the wayside, and I have seen a big narrative, particularly on social media, of people thinking that they want to boycott assurance schemes. I mean, what's your stance on that? I mean, it's great to have the commitment, but I think farmers probably need some results, really, you know, ASAP, yeah. to restore their faith in being involved in schemes and assurance.
Yeah, and I totally agree. We are working quickly on that. We're playing our part as part of the recommendations on the review, and ultimately, you know, I would like to assure farmers that it's top priority as far as HDB is concerned. I think what I would say is that, you know, we see the benefits of assurance, so we support assurance. But back to my previous point, it needs to work for everybody within the supply chain, and farmers are absolutely key. It needs to work for farmers. And ultimately, if there are opportunities to simplify, make it easier, better solutions, we're from where we are now to when it was started, there are easier solutions that help farmers and support them in being able to then demonstrate the high standards that they farm to. So absolutely, we're committed to that. We're working hard. And it's important that we deliver quickly.
Well, let's talk about another kind of, I guess, party in the supply chain who, I guess, recognise red tractor. And that's consumers, because consumers do say that they will look for that red tractor when they go shopping. Now, supermarket labelling is a whole minefield, which we're not going to have time to get into on the episode. But when we talk about what consumers are looking for when they go to the supermarket and the work that AHDB does to promote produce from Britain in the supermarkets, how does that link up, with the labelling, with the storytelling, I guess?
We have a fantastic team that we have a number of initiatives, marketing initiatives. Our Eat Balance campaign is without doubt our biggest campaign, and it's the ability to be able to connect with consumers and tell the story on British food and how it is produced, and not just necessarily how it's produced, but also the nutritional benefits to a healthy, balanced diet. The Eat Balance campaign, the clues in the title that actually red meat and dairy as part of a healthy, balanced diet is so important. And there's demographics of people within the UK that ultimately do need to eat more. The opportunities that their diets do need to be improved, and red meat and dairy are able to deliver for that. And there's a demographics of consumers that ultimately probably need to eat a little bit less, me being probably one of them. I think the ability to be able to connect, whether it's on TV, whether it's on labelling, on packs within stores. We've had Beef Week just 2 weeks ago. We've got a pork campaign as well. So not just on television, but across social media channels and also at the shelf edge and on pack. We're everywhere that we can be to able to demonstrate to consumers that the healthy nutritional benefit mm-hmm. of red meat and dairy, and also to talk about the real positive story of British farming.
Yep. I think one thing which I didn't really have any concept of the AHDB's work on is the analytics and data compiled and gathered in terms of those consumer trends, whether that's eating out in restaurants, what they're buying. And my eyes were very much open to, I guess, how much data we can learn from in that sense. Can you tell us a bit more about, I guess, the work behind the scenes and then how that is presented beyond, to levy payers and how they use it?
So we have a fantastic market intelligence and economics and analysis team that really are often like the nucleus of who AHDB is. So they are looking at various trends from a consumer perspective, how consumer trends are changing. Ultimately then, to be able to then share some of that insights and information to be able to then, that we can ultimately benefit from those changes. And without a doubt, the consumer demographic is changing.
Yes.
There are more people eating out of home, and what they are eating is changing as well. And an example of a campaign would be, we work with British University Colleges and Sports books on a dairy campaign, and that has been absolutely mind-blowing from my perspective. In my career, I've spent a lot of time in dairy, but really connecting with 18 to 25 year old students that are either at university or college linked into sports, recognising the benefit that dairy can actually bring to them to enhance their performance within the sporting arena is great. And we're connected, very much at the heart of mm-hmm. that. And I've personally had the opportunity to go down there at rugby events, at sports events. I was in Sheffield not so long ago, 4,500 students there, swimming, doing all sorts of activities.
Yes.
And dairy, British dairy was at the heart of that campaign. And we didn't have to sell it. They get it. They understand the benefits of their... So I think sometimes, actually, we're a little bit hard on our younger generation that we think that they eat really badly. Actually, I think maybe on the back of COVID, you know, a lot of them have learned to scratch cook, and a lot of them actually understand more about food and the benefits of food than we would probably give them credit for, actually.
It's fascinating. You wouldn't believe it now, but I played, well, loads of hockey when I was at uni, so very involved in those books leagues, as you talk about. And food was never really talked about, you know, nutrition. We didn't really talk about that. So I guess, to, as you say, almost, I mean, infiltrate sounds rather negative, but infiltrate those areas is vital, because they're the next generation of consumers. But perhaps you never know, they may be involved in working in agriculture, food, whatever, down the line as well. So I think it's a really, really crucial age, isn't it? Whilst we're on students and, I guess, the next generation, in terms of the AHDB's field of work, let's say in younger ages, in maybe in primary and secondary schools, what do you do there?
Yeah, so we have a nutrition team that work closely with, I think, around about 10,000 younger children out in schools. So we have programmes there where we go out to schools and we support. We've got material online. We send packs out to schools as well, so that they can get the information and insights that they're able to then bring into the classroom, working with the various curriculum as well. So we're working across various levels, from universities and colleges, but also, you know, very much at schools. We'd love to do more ultimately, but our budgets are limited as to what we can do. So it's all about maximising where we're putting our resources and really ultimately getting the benefits from that.
I was lucky enough to speak at an AHDB-led teacher conference, and it was fascinating. It was pretty much all food technology teachers, and I spoke about what we're doing on the farm, you know, for sustainability, and how we're, I guess, getting from, you know, farm to fork. And I was completely inspired by the engagement of the teachers, that there was genuine interest, they had genuine questions. And as you said slightly earlier, I think we're perhaps a bit harsh on people outside of our industry. Most of them do want to do the right thing, and most of them want to make the right choices. And we've just got to help guide that, I guess.
And I think some of the recipe ideas as well, it's then how can you actually bring that fantastic nutrition that red meat and dairy brings into an easy menu. What we also do is we've really connect with nutritionists as well. So we recently had a group out with Harper Adams, I think 40 nutritionists out on the farm, so understanding, you know, food production methods right the way from farm throughout, working very much with them, with ultimately giving them the knowledge and insights and answering their questions, so that they can then take that into the field of work that they operate in.
Well, before we get on to the people behind AHDB, the people at the centre of the organisation, I want to just round off there with, and you did slightly touch on it, British produce. What does that bring for all these consumers we're talking about? What does it bring for them, perhaps in comparison to the other countries as well producing food? Because we get told, yeah, we're the best in the world, but it's a big claim to make. How do we actually rank?
So I think one real sort of measure for me, that when I had the opportunity to go at our export stand in Seal, it was extremely busy. It was a very, very busy stand. And speaking to some of the buyers out there from around the world, the provenance that British brings alone is without doubt up there. So they recognise around the world buyers the standards that, not just from a quality of food production, but also from an environmental perspective, animal welfare, etc. Across the board, there is a high recognition that we do deliver safe, highly nutritious food, and British farmers are absolutely the heart of that.
So, Graham, we've had another wander around the farm, and I think it is brilliant to see you, you're chief executive, you're a very busy man, but you do take time to get down on the ground with farmers as well. And it ties in nicely with a question that we've had from social media. One of the levy payers wanted to know, are the people who work for AHDB farmers, or do they have direct expertise and experience of farming? And I think, to my mind, I assume you probably have a real breadth of people who've been farming, and grew up on a farm, but then some really quite specific skills, which probably, wouldn't have been fostered on a farming background. So tell us a bit more about the people.
Yeah, so we have some fantastic people at HDB, and I think to your point, the breadth of experience is really important, and knowledge as well. We have a number of the people that work at HDB that are actually farmers themselves, levy payers. There's a number that have been out off work lambing, which is yes, great. So you get the really that connection and understanding of what's really happening with farmers. But also we have the expertise and the skills elsewhere across the organisation, where you know they're ultimately helping with some of the science. We've got vets that work for us, scientists that work for us, nutritionists. So there's a real blend of people, I think, and ultimately I suppose it's my job to try and bring that group together to get them to work really well together. But it's so important that we have that real understanding from levy payers and farmers that are part of HDB.
Absolutely, and I think again tying well into another question, obviously you've got a brilliant team now, but who knows what the future will hold? So how are you, I guess, nurturing and growing that future talent, that leadership, to ensure that AHDB, it is strong in the future? Because it is a tricky time, and people are at the heart of what you do. So how are you going to ensure that?
Without a doubt that from my perspective, to be able to continue to deliver for levy payers in the future, it's important that we've got fantastic people that work for HDB, but we've also got the right capabilities and the right skills. And if we haven't got them, then ultimately how are we supporting the people to be able to develop those skills, or how are we then bringing new capabilities into HDB? This isn't anything that any other business wouldn't be focused on. So HDB aren't unique in this way, but it's important that as we look to how things are changing across the industry, if I give an example, the role of data, I think there was without a doubt the opportunity around the environmental data, etc. HDB is an independent, evidence-based organisation. There's opportunities there for HDB. But it's important that we have the right people and the right skills and the right knowledge. So that's what we're working on. We're constantly looking at what they are and ultimately bringing in those capabilities.
Absolutely. I think in farming directly on the ground, we struggle to, I guess, encourage people into the industry because we're talking in such a negative fashion all the time. But I guess with an organisation like AHDB, the opportunities, particularly in that, modern day opportunities, technology, data, even things which will come through with AI and programming and all of that side, there are opportunities for people who want to pursue careers like that, but they want to be linked to agriculture and food as well.
And that's what makes me so excited about this industry, because there are so many different kinds of jobs and roles within the industry that people can be part of. I think it's an absolutely fantastic industry. It goes through some challenges, it's going through some challenges, but ultimately there are some fantastic opportunities for lots of young people that are looking to develop their careers.
Us holding a straight face as we have pet lambs descending on our podcast episode. If anybody follows me on Instagram, they will see that these pet lambs go all over the place. you're not helping. Expanding on that point, Graham, though, in terms of the future, what's your vision for how farmers will continue to engage with the AHDB? And that, again, has come from social media, because we've talked about not everything is in person these days. So how will you continue to offer something that is accessible as possible, but is as valuable as possible as well?
So we've created a new vision at HDB. I've worked with the board, we've worked with sector councils, worked with the whole team actually, all accumulated back in December. And our vision is very much around unlocking the success of British agriculture. I kind of like a North Star. I like to know where I'm going. So we've developed a vision, we've created some new values as well. But from a farming perspective, I'm a firm believer that the future of our industry and the opportunities will not be delivered in a boardroom, they're going to be delivered on farm. So it's really important that we do connect with as many levy payers as possible. My real ambition is that we need to connect with more, and how we do that is in a number of fronts. So on farm meetings, we'll are absolutely critical to that. But equally as well, we've been looking at a future communications strategy and engagement strategy as to how we can actually better connect through social media, as an example, but also some future communication channels as well. So looking at apps and things like that, where we can actually make it easier for LevyPayers to get the information that they need, the insights that they need. They may not necessarily have the time to actually go to a physical meeting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think one of the things, and I've said a few things which I didn't realise about the AHDB, but the online resources, it's not even getting to the high level of data. The online resources of those things on farm which, they're skills you can't live without, tubing, injecting, grass management. They're very on the ground farming things. But actually, if you're a newcomer, it can be hard to find those resources. So they're at your fingertips, aren't they, as well, with the AHDB?
Yeah, and I think, without a doubt, we need to make it easily accessible to them. So I get lots of feedback on how we can improve our website, etc., which we will do. So that's what's important. We are we're surrounded by lots of insights, lots of information that we produce. It's then how we make it as easy as possible for farmers to be able to access and implement on their farms.
Now, Graham, we've had quite a big question from a LevyPayer online. In the current climate, with everyone cutting costs to survive, how can the AHDB justify a levy? And I guess to flesh that question out a bit, I know it's beautiful sunshine, but we're kind of in drought conditions here, so we're suffering with the climate. Political instability is crazy at the moment. Trade deals. We're also, I guess, just struggling to get that profitability to anywhere where it needs to be. And that's before we get into things like inheritance tax and the rest of it. Some sectors no longer have a levy and they, to all intents and purposes, have survived. Why should we be paying a levy? What value is it really bringing?
So I personally, I've been working on it. My background is very much, I've been measured through a milk price or a share price. So there's been that measure to it. I talked earlier about our vision to unlock the success of British agriculture. What I've been doing is looking to put a measure or numerous measures against that. So how do we know in a year's time, have we actually delivered to that? We've been working with some external people as well, some economists, etc., working with people internally within HDB, so that we can actually put a metrics against unlocking the success of British agriculture, so that we can actually start to talk more of an investment rather than a levy, because I recognise that for every pound that's invested from a levy, that ultimately we need to be able to demonstrate a return on that investment. So that's something that in the coming months we're going to roll out. We're going to talk more about within across LevyPayers. I recognise without a doubt that we exist purely because of our LevyPayers. To me, they are our customers, and we need to be able to demonstrate that value. I think in many respects that we do. I think there's some fantastic opportunities. Some of the marketing work that we talked about earlier, Rebecca, we're able to then easily demonstrate a return on investment. Some of the other areas that we work on are a little bit difficult. So baselining, as an example, getting a monetary value on that is quite difficult. But ultimately, where that will take the industry to be able to demonstrate how further ahead or how further it is to net zero, mm-hmm. is something that is important to reflect on and recognise. I absolutely get the challenges that farmers are facing now when it, from a profitability perspective. So please, I get that. And we do not, as HDB, have a right to exist. We need to be able to demonstrate that value in many respects that we are, but we need to do a better job.
Well, Graham, we really have covered a lot in today's episode. We've been, we've had a tour of the farm. We've been interrupted by pet lambs. It's all happened. But I'd like to ask you one final question. And if you had to sum up in a sentence what AHDB will look like in the future and your role within that, what would you say?
We have a vision to unlock the success of British agriculture. I am a firm believer that HDB, for what we stand for, has an opportunity to play an even bigger role in ensuring that that vision is achieved for our farmers, for our processors, for our levy pays. That's our role, and that's my ambition as the CEO of HDB.
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. I've definitely learned lots, and I hope for our listeners as well, it's been as engaging too. For those listeners, if you head to preferencecentre.ahdb.org.uk, you can sign up for updates, you can find out about market insights, data, and the latest news and events. Thank you once again for listening.